I have been in instances where I ask a girl, why are you not in school? They will say, oh, my daddy said, it's the male child that will carry his name. So it's the male child that he will send to school. So we talk about the girl child every time. Girl child, girl child, girl child. But I feel like the major problem, we are not talking about it.
This is Ayomide, a young changemaker and female activist from Nigeria. Since the age of 13, she has been advocating for improved welfare and access to education for young girls across Nigeria. But beyond this, there is one subject she is also very passionate about.
I heard that there's a certain set of people that give out free sexual reproductive materials. Why can't you give out free pads? We don't talk about that. We're talking about the girl child. We need to talk about the serious matters that concern the girl child. Period poverty is one of them.
Period poverty is an alarming problem that affects over 500 million girls and young women across the world. In Nigeria alone, over 30 million girls do not have access to sanitary pads. And this has led to some truly tragic consequences. But in her own little way, Ayomide has committed herself to turn this tide.
Fast forward to later, I started paying the organization to actually take it upon myself to help girls in underserved communities.
In 2020, Ayomide launched Pink Diva Organization, a group dedicated to supporting underserved girls by teaching good menstrual hygiene and distributing free menstrual pads. On this episode of the Climb Podcast, Ayomide tells us how this all started and how far her organization has come. Welcome to the Climb Podcast, where we tell extraordinary stories of the African youth.
My name is Ayomide Ofori Akran. I am the founder of Pink Diva Organization. And Pink Diva Organization is an organization that alleviates period poverty, helps girls in underserved communities to sustain themselves, their families, empowers them, gives them another way of education apart from mainstream education, that is informal education, making them learn skills so that they can be able to sustain themselves and their families. And now we also take care of teenage mothers and their babies.
Ayomide Akran is a young changemaker and female activist from Nigeria. In 2020, at the age of 13, she established Pink Diva Organization, a group dedicated to eradicating period poverty and to supporting underserved young girls and young mothers. So how does a 13-year-old girl launch an organization with such important and ambitious goals? Ayomide tells me that her family background played an important role.
Okay, so my childhood was more of a change-making childhood. I would like to say I'm the child of a proud change-maker mom. So my mom runs her own NGO, Agatha Obiageli Agbero Memorial Foundation, which she has in memory of her mom. So she did it after her mom died because her mom used to help people and was very, very generous to people. So she passed down that spirit to my mom, and my mom passed down that spirit to me in multiple forms. So my childhood was more of like a change-making childhood where every project my mom had, I was her handbag. She calls me her PA. So everywhere she goes, I'm there. I got to see like lives of people that I felt like, honestly, I didn't know that was what people were going through. You know, I was in my own comfort space and never thought in my wildest dreams at that age, at the age of 6 or 5, even less than that, that I would see people that were going through less than myself. You know, I felt like everybody was going through the same thing. So it was a big eye-opener now that I realized that. Because I got to mix with people. I never ever felt like, oh, do not touch this person because this person is not properly dressed, or this person is dirty, or this person doesn't talk, or this person doesn't walk. She made me know that there's no grass on the other side. Not that the grass is not greener on the other side. There's no grass at all. So she made me realize that empathy drives commitment. I have to feel, I have to try to put myself in that person's shoes because not everybody's shoes fit. no matter how much I try to put myself in that person's shoes, I might wear a bigger shoe, the person might wear a smaller shoe. So it's just trying to just open my eyes to the world of change making. And it helped because I was very young. So everything I saw, I picked. It was really a change making childhood for me.
And Ayomi Day's change making childhood prepared her to confront the first major challenge she encountered as a young girl in secondary school. And that problem was menstrual poverty.
So starting in the journey, as I said, I was always with my mom. So she opened my eyes to a lot of things. My mom always told me that about menstruation. She was always open about it because I was always with older people. And I got to see what they were going through. They were always open as well with me. So my mom always taught me on how to take care of myself during my menstruation, even before it happened. And I actually started my periods very, very early. And when I got into primary five, I had this friend that was way older than myself. So I will always say that I have been in the past with older people. I have always been the smallest in the room, right from my childhood. Mixing with my mom, going into school, I have always been the smallest in the room. But I felt like I was way educated than them. So I had this friend who started her period, or she had already started, but that day she got stained, and our sportswears in primary school actually had like some different colors of pants. And unfortunately, that day she wore the white shorts. And I noticed that when she wasn't in class for like 5 periods, and we had short break, we didn't see her. So when I went to check up on her in the toilet, I saw that she got stained. So I asked her, "What are you going to do?" She said her mom taught her how to cut pads, but the one she has been cutting had finished. So a regular sanitary pad, she would cut into 3 or 4, and it would not even stick in the panties. It would stain. So I told her, "Okay, I have an extra kit. I haven't started menstruating, so you are good to go." I taught her how to wear a pad because she didn't even know how to wear a full pad. And she was really surprised. "This small girl, how do you know all these things?" And I took it upon myself to bring pads for her every time I had the opportunity to bring pads. There was a time that my mom noticed that her pads used to finish really quick. And I hadn't even started my period. So I would literally go ahead. And she wasn't even free about talking about it. She was only open to taking the pad. And I found out that there were other people that were going through this challenge. So fast forward into secondary school, when I got into GS1, I had already started menstruating. And I was in a girls-only school, fortunately for me. I felt like they'll be more comfortable talking about these things because I'm a very, very open person. As you see me is how you see me. So I would go up to someone and say, "Oh, have you seen a period?" Just to like start up a conversation about menstruation. And I noticed that even in a girls-only school, the way that we're supposed to talk about ourselves, our female anatomy as girls, people were not talking about the topic was not topicking. People were not saying anything about it. So I started this like little class circle where people would come to my class. I was the class captain of my class, so nobody can tell me anything. Why am I bringing people into the class? So I'll bring them into the class and talk to them, both day and boarding students. I was a day student, so I had the opportunity to bring pads to school. I would bring pads to school, give it to those people that had menstruation, those ones that couldn't buy pads, those ones that were using unsanitary items, those ones that were reusing pads that they were not meant to reuse. So I would bring it and just take it upon myself that this is the duty. I have to teach them about it. I have to talk to them about it. And fortunately for me, I was having different symptoms and changes of menstruation in my body. So I always shared with them, "Oh, today, this is what happened to me. Yeah, this is how I took care of it. Oh, this is what my mom said. This is the medications I took." So I was always open about it. Fast forward to later, I started paying the organization to actually take it upon myself to help girls in underserved communities. Because these people that were in my classroom were a little bit fortunate like myself. And I was thinking, if these people were fortunate like this and they still didn't have this information, what would happen to those in the underserved communities? So I took it upon myself to start Pink Diva organization and girls in underserved communities. Pink Diva, as the name is pink, girls generally love pink. But for myself, pink is my favorite color and I find power in pink. And Diva, I'm very, very sassy. I'm very, very fashionable. So I felt like those two names work together to make the organization what it is today.
So as a secondary school student, Ayomide launched Pink Diva Organization with a plan to contribute towards solving a problem that is faced by over 30 million Nigerian girls and young women. I asked her how difficult it was as a young girl starting such an ambitious endeavor.
The early stages of Pink Diva Organization was really, really tough because I was in school, right? I was in secondary school and I didn't have the support I needed. I didn't have the dream team I wanted. I didn't have the finance I wanted. I still don't have the dream team as much as I want. I have a dream team, but it wasn't like then. You know, I wanted what I wanted then. I had big dreams for my organization. I wasn't reaching it. I was going through different hurdles, people trying to understand what the organization is for, that we're not making any profit out of it. People trying to understand that I'm not, you working with me doesn't mean that you're going to be on Google, doesn't mean that people are going to come to interview you every time, doesn't mean that you're going to travel. You know, people just want to be in something that they will gain benefits out of and not actually feel and not actually be passionate about what they want to do. Most times people, did you hear that Ayomide was on the news? Did you hear that this? Oh, I want to work with her so that they'll put me on the news too. Or I want her to refer me to somebody that'll be on the news. Oh, did you hear that Ayomide went here? Oh, I want to be with her so that I will take pictures. So people were just tagging along, not for the passion, but they were with it for like, the fame and what they would get out of it. Fast forward to three teams later, I think I have a level of what I want, my team. We're working on our support. Another thing that we struggled with when we started was trust from people. People do not trust, I always say this, people do not trust young people with money as much as they should. They trust young people, but they don't trust them as much as they should. I would bring out a flyer, please donate, or even without money, sir, just donate your used clothes, your used shoes, because there was a time we had our first drive was the shoe drive where you donate your female shoes and we sell them to buy pads for these girls. People still did not trust us with the shoes. They were like, why am I giving you? You know, people have a problem with trusting young people, but I feel like we should be the ones they trust the most because we have less experience and we have a lot to offer, especially now that there are younger ones coming after us. But fast forward to now, I think we're doing a very good job with making people trust us and showing that we deserve what we have. We deserve the platforms. We deserve our work to be shown. And yeah, I think we're getting the support that we need. Fast forward to now, our starting was really, really difficult. My mom, I feel like my mom was the only one that was really, really able to support my foundation because she had been in the job for a very long time. We call her Mama Pinkless because she's like she doesn't really ask much questions as normal people would. She's just really invested in any idea we have, ready to drive us wherever we want to go for any event, ready to pay for anything that we have to pay for. Do you understand? So she has always been there for us.
So with the help of her mother, her volunteer team, and hundreds of other supporters, 2 years later, Ayomide's Pink Diva organization is still going strong, and the organization has evolved and begun the distribution of reusable sanitary pads, which are better for the environment than single-use sanitary pads.
So we are not the first people to start reusable pads. But I think we are the first to start reusable pads as a young teenage organization in Nigeria. So the reusable pads are something that have been in existence for at least more than 5 years now. People abroad have been doing reusable pads and selling to us everywhere around the world as pads. But we in Nigeria have never ever thought of it as a product. People still have their reservations about reusable pads. But Pink Diva Organization, in the process of actually getting to use one, we went through like extreme tough times because we had to go through different, will these materials work? For someone like me, I have extremely sensitive skin. So we had to make sure that it would work for all skin types, all kinds of sensitive skin, all type of people, both girls in the self community, actually for something that was extremely absorbent, because some girls are heavy flowers, some are light flowers. So we had to make sure that it was something that would not be too visible. So we just made sure that we made the best of our team, made the best of our time, we made the best of our resources, and we also made the right research, because without the right research, we would have just been giving out rubbish. But we did the right research, and I couldn't do it alone, because if I was doing it alone, like, my brain would have gone cuckoo. But so far, with the team, we have been doing a great job.
Beyond expanding to distribute reusable sanitary pads, the Pink Diva organization has also expanded to offer care and support to teenage mothers and their children. Ayomide shared with me one of her most memorable stories from working with these teenage mothers.
So I would like to tell a story about one of our major impact stories that has pushed me so far. It was a teen mom. So as I said earlier, we're now working with teenage moms, and she's a teen mom that learned from our, that we impacted with our soap making class. So we have our pads for bottle drives where it helps the community eco-friendly, so that we can promote an eco-friendly world because of, you know, climate change, everything is happening right now. So we're trying to do the little that we can. So we asked our girls to regularly bring bottles to my mom's school in Satellite Town. So we have like a space there, like a mini semi-office kind of thing there. And we asked them to bring it there, and we give it to the companies that buy bottles. So we noticed that she hadn't been bringing bottles for a while. And we asked her that, what's up? She said, oh, she wants to actually make sure that the bottles are a lot so that she can bring them to us, and then she sells, and then we have money to make soap. I said, oh, that's really interesting. So she would sell the bottles and get the money and buy soap materials, make soap with the remaining bottles that she has, and sells them. And she was able to take care of her child. She wasn't depending on us anymore for Pampers money, Cerulac money. She would take care of her child, take care of her family, because her mom, when she gave birth, her mom also gave birth. So she was able to contribute for her mom's baby. She was now self-independent, self-reliant. She didn't really need as much funds from us or much support from us like she needed before. Do you understand? So that actually made me feel like, okay, now you're actually doing a good job.
Despite the tremendous work she has done in her own little way, Ayomide knows that there are still millions of young girls across Nigeria who are desperately in need of support. She encourages the government and other organizations to do more to support young girls and women across Nigeria.
We talk about the girl child every time. Girl child, girl child, girl child. But I feel like the major problem, we are not talking about it. I'm talking about putting girl child in school. You put them in school today and they're having problems getting bullied for menstruation. We don't talk about that. We're talking about the girl that is out there looking for money to buy pads and doing ridiculous things. We don't talk about that. We're talking about the girl child. We need to talk about the serious matters that concern the girl child. Period poverty is one of them. Lack of finances is one of them. Lack of education is one of them. And my own problem is private institutions actually trying. Most of them are actually trying to look for ways to sponsor, okay, this organization is working on this, let's try. But for the government, I feel like the way we have, oh, back to school drives by, okay, this senator or this governor, we can actually try back to school pad drive, or we can do back to pad drives, anything that works. But I would advise that do not give the regular pads that we are giving, you know, the regular sanitary pads, always, etc. Do not give that. That is not what they need. You give it today. Are you going back to monitor, see if they're using it? Are you going back to see if what you implemented is being used? You give a pad today, a pack of 5 pads today, and then you don't come back ever again. How do you know that the next month, not even that 5 pads, she has used it within 2 days. If it's a heavy floor, she can even use that 5 in a day. You're not going back to check. Oh, are these people actually using what check and balance? Are you doing it? Are you checking if you give pads today? This girl has pads for the next month. You don't even know how she's sustaining, how she's feeding herself, and you're expecting her to buy pads. I heard that there's a certain set of people that give out free sexual reproductive materials. Why can't you give out free pads? Why can't you give out free, like, give a girl a whole bag of 12 packs of pads if you don't want to do the reusable pads? Now, we've even come up with reusable pads which are more eco-friendly, saves the environment from flood, environmental pollution, toilets are getting less clogged. We're bringing out the reusable pads. Reusable pads can last for at least 2 years. So you know that if you give a girl at least 2 pieces of reusable pads, she's secure for 2 years. You come back the next 2 years and you're able to give her another set. Do you understand? So there are ways that the government, private institutions can come in. There are organizations, I'm aware that there are other organizations that take care of this problem. Trust us, try as much as possible to trust us to do this job. And the world become a better place. Nigeria, we have a lot of issues, but this is one issue that I know that with the little power that they have, they can help. We, with the power of the government or private institutions, they have a louder voice than us, so they can do quite a lot than we can do.
In the course of our incredible work, Ayomide has had help and support from a number of individuals and organizations, including Ashoka, an organization that identifies and supports the world's leading social entrepreneurs.
Ashoka has opened my eyes to a family away from my actual family. Miss Paula, Miss Josephine, everybody has been there to support me in their own different way. When I launched my Kiara collection, that's my reusable pad and my clothing line, they were there to support. Miss Paula sponsored pads for UNICEF, for girls in the UNICEF communities. Miss Josephine bought outfits, you know. Ashoka has really opened me. Without Ashoka, I'm not sure I would be on this podcast either. Without Ashoka, Pink Diva Organization would have not gotten the recognition that we have been looking for a very long time. Ashoka has been the family that Pink Diva Organization needed. Ashoka has really opened my eyes. Not only Ashoka, but the partners that Ashoka has. They didn't really need to give us finances, but they gave us the power, the connection, everything that we needed to strive.
My time speaking with Ayomide had been a fascinating one. Her ability, her passion, and her drive to launch and maintain such an important charity at a young age was beyond inspiring, and I cannot wait to see what comes next. But my final question to her was, what she would say to other young people looking to become change makers just like her?
Okay, so first things first, I just have two basic things to tell you. You're a young star, you have a palm, you have the voice. Just trust yourself, believe in your voice, believe in your power. And secondly, no matter the problem, there are a lot of problems. You don't really need to do period poverty. You don't need to do education problems. There are a lot of problems there that you might not work well with period poverty, like the way I work well with period poverty, but everybody has their own little problem that they can face and that they can fight for. You have a very, very strong, unique voice and power. No matter your age, your gender, your stature, your height, or how you look at yourself, you can make a change. The change-making family is something that I'm sure everybody can be in. It's a family that everybody needs to be in. Everybody needs to try to make the world a better place. Your little 2 cents can add to the 100 cents we need to make the world a better place. So please, join the change-making family. I'll be here anytime to support you. So please, join the family.
This episode of the Climb Podcast was hosted and edited by Jewel Atadobright. Special thanks to Ayomide Akran for allowing us to tell her story. The Climb Podcast is a podcast collaboration between the Channels Media Group and the Firoz Lalje Institute for Africa at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Thank you for listening.